Christmas song right here tonight. Come on, brother. Amen. Right, now, don't do like your Uncle Jared did. Is Jared his uncle? What is he? Whatever he is. Uncle Jared. That's bad, ain't it? Jared got up one night when he was real little, over, and I let all the kids sing over to the old church, and Jared got up and they sang, "Jesus loved me." Then Jared got up and said, "Who let the dogs out?" All right.
Jesus loves me. This ain't no full of Bible. That's me so little one to him be wrong. There are but he is wrong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves me. Full of Bible. That's me so.
All right, that's good, wasn't it? Come on, brother. Amen. Now, while they're coming, everybody don't forget now, Wednesday night, be here. The kids got to be here. They're going to practice their part in the play. And so if the kids ain't got their part yet, or they need to be here. Either way, don't miss it. And we got some new kids coming in Wednesday night that was here this morning. As kids asked me this morning, can they be in the play? I said, sure, come on. You can just stand up here and be a star or something. Don't forget that Wednesday night. And then Saturday morning, we're going visiting. Be here and go with us visiting Saturday morning. You'll enjoy it. It'll be a help to you. Then, of course, the 18th will be our Christmas banquet of Steakhouse. We're looking forward to that. Several people have asked about the Golden Crown. They won't even take parties till next year, so that's out. And plus, it's a lot, $3 higher. We're having it at on the 18th on Wednesday night, like we usually do, so don't forget that. Amen. Okay, y'all ready?
Many times in life, the burdens get me down, and it seems that a friend could not be found. When I feel I'm in this valley all alone, I can count on you, Lord, for strength to go on. When I've gone just as far as I can go, I can count on you, my love. When I've done everything I know to do, I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through. When it seems I just can't make it through the day, I can count on you, Lord, to show me the way. When it seems I just can't stand upon my own, you are the rock, Lord, I am leaning on. And when I've gone just as far as I can go, I can count on you, Lord, to carry my love. And when I've done everything I know to do, I can count on you, Lord, to carry me through. You would never leave me to walk alone. As far as I can go, I can count on you, Lord, to carry my love. I can count on you, Lord, to carry my love.
Yes, amen. 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 When you've gone as far as you can go, you can count on him to carry your load. That's good advice, somebody here tonight. When you've gone as far as you can go. I didn't mention a minute ago that we'd like to remember to pray for Miss Diane Messer. She's still having some complications back in the hospital, I understand. I just found that out a few minutes ago. And I don't know all the situation, but I need your prayers tonight. And Stacy, Brooke, Dwayne, Corey, their whole family, let's remember to pray for them this evening. Now, I want you to take your Bible for a minute and turn to Romans chapter 7. I've been over there in my office today studying and praying while they were having Christmas play practice and trying to get what I feel like the Lord would have me to give you tonight. I want to read some very familiar scripture for you this evening. And I want to preach just a little short message tonight. This morning I bragged on Jesus, and I talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, how great he is. And I'm telling you, that's worth coming to church for. I'm not impressed to go to church to hear how good some man is. I sure like to hear about the Lord, though. I've been to churches where all I thought was, boy, this man's this man's that. And there's nothing wrong with giving a little credit where it's due. But I want to come to church and hear about the Lord, don't you? That's what we come to church for, not to be impressed by the great, wonderful so-and-so. We're the great, wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, well, the greatest Christian that's ever lived, if not the greatest Christian that's ever lived, since the Lord Jesus was here, was the Apostle Paul. Arguably, one of the greatest, if not the greatest Christian that's ever lived, was the Apostle Paul. None can come close to him. Maybe John Wesley and some of the other apostles and some others throughout history, John Bunyan and others like that. But the Apostle Paul lived a tremendous life. And when he got saved, buddy, he got saved. And when he got saved, he turned around one way and went the other way. That's repentance. He made an about face. That man changed, and he preached the faith that he once destroyed. He was so mixed up that he was on his way to destroy a bunch of Christians when he got saved. On the road to Damascus, and God saved him and turned him around and made the greatest preacher of the gospel ever in the age of grace. And here's what he said. So don't feel so bad if you wrestle like I'm going to talk about tonight. You ever feel like a failure? Have you ever felt like, Lord have mercy, I'm a sorry Christian? You ever felt like that? Nod your little pony heads. That's what the old preacher said. I don't know what that means. Have you ever felt like the more I try to live right, the worse I do? Have you ever felt like, Lord, I just try and try and the devil knocks me down and I make up my mind I'm going to do good and then the devil trips you and then you say, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to pray, I'm going to witness, and you don't do what you say you're going to do? Well, guess what? Good news. He went from a wretch to a winner, and that's what you can do tonight. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 14. For we know, Romans 7, 14, that the law is spiritual. But I, he's speaking of his flesh, I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. Have you ever done that? Have you ever caught yourself doing something and you say, this ain't right. I know I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. You don't even allow it, but you do it anyway. You don't practice what you preach a lot of times. Ain't that right? Now listen, y'all. Come on now. Nod your heads. Grin. Nod. Shake them. Say, I hate you. Throw something at me. Do something. You look petrified. All right. You know what I'm talking about. Say amen. Thank you. All right. Now look at here. Verse 16. If then I do that, rest of verse 15, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Don't you hate what you do sometimes? Yeah, you're a real Christian. You know what? You say, no, I shouldn't be doing it. I hate myself. for doing this, acting like I'm acting. Maybe you've smarted off to your kids or your husband or your wife or your boss at work or somebody, and you say, I hate myself. I said I'd never do that again. Here I go again. Look at that. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. The law is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Get that? Get it? There ain't nothing good about your flesh. As a matter of fact, when you get saved, your flesh don't even get saved. It gets bought. It does not get born again. If it did, it would become perfect. If your flesh got, that's where the Pentecostals and the holiness groups get off track. They think when you get saved, somehow you become sinless in the flesh. And you don't. Your flesh don't get saved. Spirit of God's in you. He don't even touch your flesh. He circumcised your heart, spirit and flesh and cut it loose from your flesh. And the good part of you is on the inside, which is Jesus, but your flesh remains the same. You know how I know that? If my finger was cut off, and I got born again, my flesh got saved, my finger would be back. And my flesh wouldn't have any blemishes. It wouldn't have any wrinkles or scars or anything. It would be perfect. But it's not. It will be at the rapture. Your flesh gets born again when the Lord comes back. Your body gets born again. We're spiritually, we're born again right now. The redemption of our body is at the body don't change till the rapture. Now, let's look at it. Verse 18. For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will, I want to do right, it's present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said, man, I really, really, really want to live perfect, but somehow or another I just keep coming short and keep falling down and keep messing up, and I try and I try, and I go to the altar and I pray and I ask God to help me, and here I go again, and he just keeps getting more and more failure. For the good, verse 19, that I would, I do not. I want to give, I want to pray, I want to work, I want to witness, I want to give to missionaries, I want to be a soul winner, and I don't do it. Now then, if I do that, verse 20, which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now a lost person can't understand that verse. If you're saved, you know exactly what it means. Right when you try to do right, there's when the evil pops up. Hold on, I mean through reading. I know a lot of young preachers that really want to pastor a church, and there's nothing wrong with that. You should want to if you're called to preach. And they say, man, I'll just preach and the glory of God will follow and people get saved and the church will grow. Guess what? You're forgetting something. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Listen, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the devil. I know the devil's real. I know he is. I can tell you, before youth rally, it's like he gets right beside me. This past year, right before youth rally, it was like I was in an elevator, couldn't breathe, and it was demons and devils all around me. It's always like, I'm used to that. I've been doing that for years and years and years. And you know what? When I would do good, evil is present with me. When you make up your mind to do good, that's when the devil will get after you. And as the old preacher said, he said, the reason the devil ain't bothering some people, they're going the same way he is. Me and the devil's going the same way, we don't have no trouble. But if I'm going this way and he's going that way, we're going to clash. I'm going to tell you tonight, me and him is going to clash. I don't know about you, but me and him is going to clash. I don't like it, but I ain't going the way he goes, by God's grace. Verse number 21, I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members. That's your hand, feet, members of your body. Warring against the law of my mind. And bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. Here we go, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's your answer. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. From a wretch to a winner. From a wretch to a winner. From a wretch to a winner. I'm a wretch tonight. The Lord Jesus is holy. I like the song that said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Don't ever get to thinking that you're holy. Don't ever get to thinking that you're sinless. You're not. The people who think they're sinless are a long way from it. Like I said, the only one man that lives above sin is the man that lives on the second floor of the pool hall. Above it. I mean, he lives above sin. You don't live above it. I don't live above it. And sin is ever present with us. Ladies and gentlemen, you're born into sin. Your nature is towards sin. You naturally do not want to do right. You do not want to submit. You don't want to submit to God. You children don't want to submit to your parents. You wives don't want to submit to your husbands. It's a natural, born, sinful nature. You men don't want to love your wives like you should. It's a natural, born, sinful part of our nature. And you have to fight it. And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, there's your answer. Well, we read about people in the Bible that made mistakes, and they're all a representative of this. David, we all know that David fell and disappointed the Lord, committed terrible sin. And David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man, if some of Bathsheba's relatives had known David, and you asked them about him, they'd say, "I wouldn't walk across the street listening to him preach. He's the sorriest Christian I've seen in my life. He's the biggest hypocrite I ever met in my..." You know what God said about him? God said, "That man's after my heart." Hey, God said, "That man loves me with all his heart." And I'm going to tell you tonight, you know what made David different? David loved God with all of his heart. And if you love God, it'll come through. So you may not act like it in the flesh. You may not always feel like it. You may not always behave like some of God's youngins don't always behave like you ought to. But if you love God, it'll come through after a while. Old Moses, he hid that Egypt, killed that Egyptian and hid him in the sand. But you know what Moses did? Moses went around out there and he come back and led God's people out of bondage. That's what he did. You know what Abraham did? Oh, Abraham doubted God. And then you know what Abraham did? He went up there on the mountain to sacrifice his son and became the friend of God. You know what Jonah did? Oh, Jonah run the other way and got out of the will of God. You know what else Jonah did? He went back and got right and preached the greatest revival that's ever been in history. Billy Graham ain't never preached one had 120,000 people saved. They couldn't even know the right hand from the left hand, not counting smart people. I'm going to tell you something, adults. I'm going to tell you this evening, brother, God does things like that. You know what Peter did? Peter cussed and denied the Lord, and less than 2 months later, preached one of the greatest sermons in the New Testament, and nearly 5,000 people got saved by the grace of God. You know why? Because he's a wretch, and the Lord's a winner. He's a wretch, and the Lord's holy. I'm a wretch, but he's holy. Listen, don't get your confidence in me, people. I'll let you down. I can't live up to your expectation. I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you about one that will never, ever, ever, hallelujah, let us down. Worship him tonight and enjoy being saved by the grace of God. Listen, I heard a lot of people, I talk to people all the time, they say, "Well, I went to church for a while with that deacon, that preacher." I said, "You crazy for getting your eyes on that deacon preacher to start with." You know what a deacon and a preacher is? They're a human being just like you are. Amen? They ain't no different. They ain't no different. We was playing ball over here one night, and this guy came down there and said something smart. I didn't know who he was. And he pushed me or said something smart, and I hollered, "Walt!" You know, he do that sometimes. The referee call Walt. I said, "Walt!" And he said something real smart to me. And we was running back down the floor. I said, "Was you talking to me?" I was trying to be nice to him. And he looked at me and he said, "I thought you were supposed to be a preacher." I said, "Man, I was just trying to be nice. I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck because I didn't want to hurt my testimony. And I wanted to say, I thought you were supposed to be a Christian." I don't know where people get this idea that it's all right for me to cuss, it's all right for me to run my mouth, it's all right for me to lie, but you're supposed to be a preacher. Where'd you get that double standard at? I'm going to tell you something, brother. You say, "You're supposed to be a preacher." I ain't supposed to be. I am one. But everything good about me is him, and it ain't me. I'm a dog. I'm a wretch. Ain't nothing good about me. I ought to be in hell with my back broke. And you ought to be right there beside me. But oh, wretched man that I am, I've got a Savior tonight that loved me and gave Himself for me, took my place, interposed His precious blood for my sorry sin, and I'm saved by His grace and right because of Him tonight. You know what the Lord will do? The Lord will let you see how sorry you are so you'll realize how good He is. I feel sorry for these religious people that walk around saying, I live so good, I live. I heard people say, well, if anybody makes it, I will. You will to hell. Listen, you're working your way there really fast. I'm telling you tonight, listen, I'm a wretch. You've heard me say, I heard a guy on the radio one day. It's truth. And he was over at one of these FM stations. Some Yankee got on there and he was singing. He said, Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a man like me. I about gagged. I'd rather hear Bryson sing any day of the week. Any day of the week. Amen. I'd rather hear Grandma that can't carry a tune. That little brat wouldn't admit he's a wretch. But say, he said, you know, the song says it saved a wretch like me. He said, that saved a man like me. I'm not a wretch. Let me tell you something, buddy. Till you see yourself as a wretch, God ain't going to do nothing for you. I'll admit for everybody here tonight, I'm a wretch. I don't even know what it is, but I know I am one. Yeah, you can tell by listening to it what it is. Wretch. I like puke. Nasty, sorry, good for nothing, no count, nothing good in you, nothing good on you, nothing good about you. You know, you say, well, Brother Danny, you're putting us down. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Nothing good, nothing good. You say, well, no, you're not. You ain't better than Paul. He said, in my flesh there ain't one good thing, not one. But thanks be unto God, we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now them shouting words right there. The only man who has all these troubles behind him is a man who drives school bus. You heard that? Amen. They say the next time trouble overwhelms you, remember the steam kettle. It's up to its neck in hot water, but it still whistles. Amen. You know what I've learned to do through trouble? Listen, if I'd have done what I felt like doing this evening, I wouldn't even come to church tonight. If I'd have done what my flesh said to do, and half of you wouldn't have. Now, it ain't always like that. Sometimes I can't wait to get here. Sometimes I think, glory to God, whoo, I don't see everybody. How you doing, brother? But then there's other times when the devil, you got a busting headache. You got trouble on every side. I didn't want to come. But you know what? My flesh is not the decision maker. That book and God is the decision maker. You don't go by your flesh. Your flesh will lead you wrong. Your flesh will get you in trouble. Your flesh will mess your life up. You go by what God said. We're not followers of the flesh. We're led by the Spirit and not the lust of this flesh. You'll never get anywhere, you wretch, until you let the Lord lead you. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, Brother Danny, I'm mean. I didn't say nothing, but I thought, you sure are. She said, I'm not going to tell you who it is. She don't come to church here. She said, she used to do. She said, I'm mean. She said, I can feel the devil coming out of me. I just want to just choke my husband. I want to slap the kids. She said, it bothers me that I'm that mean. Now, half you women here feel like it once in a while. You just won't admit it. That's how wicked your flesh is. And you men, you feel the same thing. Don't it scare you sometimes when you think, good God, that's really in me. Evil is present within me. I'll tell you good people something here tonight. You have inside you the ability. You have inside you, you are capable of committing any sin in that book. You say, I wouldn't say that if I was you. You better be careful. You better be careful about getting that self-righteous attitude of, oh, I'd never do that. You better watch out, brother. The Bible said if a man thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. You better not overestimate that flesh. You give it an inch, it'll take a mile. You flirt around with somebody at work, next thing you know, you'll get in trouble. You take one sip, next thing you know, you'll be a drunk. You take one puff, next thing you know, you can be a drug addict. You tell one lie, you tell another lie to cover up that lie, another lie to cover up. I'm telling you, you can't handle it. I can't handle it. We're a wretch. We're a wretch. The only thing we can do is trust the Lord Jesus Christ. A lock, close. This ain't a lock. It'll close by itself. Pick. But you can't open it without a key. Now, God's grace is the key. You get yourself in a mess by yourself, but you can't get out without His grace. That's the key. Amen? That's right. I'm telling you, brother, you better make up your mind. Yeah, you want your flesh. Your flesh will mess you up. Have you ever noticed that it's harder to read your Bible than it is a newspaper? Have you ever noticed that you can read a magazine and stay wide awake, and as soon as you start reading the Bible, you're bored and can't even remember where you're at? That's your flesh resenting what's spiritual. Have you ever noticed how big a $20 bill looks when you're getting ready to put it in an offering plate, and how little it looks when you get it at a yard sale and somebody buys some of your stuff? I mean, have you ever noticed that your flesh is conniving? Your flesh is a weasel. Your flesh will wiggle around trying to have its way and get its way. The flesh looks out for old number one. That's why people get divorced. Selfishness. You know why people get divorced? They're selfish. It's me. I. That's why people can't get along. Yeah, if some people get divorced from themselves, they might get along with somebody else. But they're married to theirself. I'm telling you, our flesh is with. That's why you won't pay your tithes. That flesh is stingy. It's stingy. It wants to keep that money. It don't want to give. That's why your flesh, when you finally do something good, it wants the glory for it. Because it's wicked. It's wretched. But the Lord Jesus Christ covers us in His righteousness, and that's what makes us good. I'm about through, so you listen. You listen. You say, well, what about the Pope? He's in the same boat me and you are in. I love that story. That guy that's taking some old country preacher over yonder somewhere, and Roman is in this big old Catholic church. If you ever been in one of them, man, them things are spooky. I mean, they got statues and paintings and all these colors, weird gold on the ceiling. You have to do a bunch of stuff like that when you ain't got no religion that'll satisfy a person's heart. You have to have outward things, candles and cookies and giving people sticking in their mouth and stuff like that. But when you ain't got no God, you got to make up something to keep people religious. And so they said, the guy said, who's that? There was Jesus on the cross. He said, who's that beside him? He said, that's Pope Leo III. He said, oh, I didn't know that. He said, who's that number? He said, you don't know who that is. It's Pope John IV. I can't believe you don't know that. He said, well, I've only been a Christian for a little while. I mean, I knew he was crucified between two thieves, but I never did know their names. That old boy had it right. He had it right. You know, we don't bow down to the Pope. He ain't no different than we are. Can I just tell y'all something? Now, every one of you is going to say that's right, but some of you don't believe this. There ain't nobody in here no better than nobody else. And you'll nod your head, but you don't believe it, some of you. Some of you will walk right out. I would never let my kids do what I would never. Whatever. We know how you are. We know you self-righteous people. That you nod your head because you know I'm right, but deep down you really do think you're better than other people. And that ain't right. God ain't going to bless you. God, you know who the Lord blesses? Get out and get humble. You know why I got down on my knees over there and prayed a while ago? Because if I humble myself, God will help me. You know why I call the altar prayer? Because if we get humble before God, God will help us. You know what happens to churches? Churches get to thinking they're hot stuff. They get to thinking, boy, we got it. Boy, we got it. You better look out, brother. You'll wind up dead in 4:00. We got to stay humble. We got to stay on our knees. We got to keep praying. We got to stay right with God. You know why them bus kids keep coming in here and keep getting saved? Because we realize that it's the Lord that does it, and He gets the glory, and me and you don't deserve not one little bit. Sometimes people brag on me. I get scared. My flesh likes it. Of course it does. Yours does too. But it scares me. I remember somebody got up and introduced me, and they say, now this is Brother Danny Castleman. I'm sitting there saying, Lord, forgive him. Forgive him. He knows not what he says. Because, man, I don't want the devil all over me. Pride goeth before destruction. A haughty spirit before a fall. You walk in work tomorrow and thinking you're the prettiest one there. You're the smartest person there. You're the boss. You ought to be the boss. You ain't the boss, but you ought to be the boss. Now, the truth is, if you ought to be the boss, you would be the boss. You just think you ought to be. You're getting ready to fall flat on your face. I used to know these kids in school, girls would think they're the prettiest one there. Something always happens to them. It always does. You'll be walking around one day and all of a sudden you're high heel and you'll fall right in front of everybody. A haughty spirit before a fall. I stand before you tonight admitting to everybody here, I'm a wretch, I'm no good. By God's grace, I am what I am by His grace. That's about stay humble. Stay humble. You start sticking your head up there, you get shot off. Amen. Somebody said, well, I know he's preaching. I'm preaching ain't too long. Your appetite's too short. That's what's wrong with you. You need to just make a covenant with the Lord. Get your heart right. Accept Him. Don't beat around the bush. Hear about that boy, this girl, he's going to ask his girlfriend to marry him. And he's out there, and he's real nervous. You know, he felt knots in his stomach. And she was sitting there, they always had him out on the swing, you know, in the old days. And he was saying, oh, darling, the sun shines when you want the dark clouds roll away. When the rain stops when you're in the room. And she finally just rolled around and said, shut up and put the ring on my finger. That's pretty good advice, amen? Sometimes that's the way the Lord, we fool around and we beat around the bush and we, well, I need to get, and the Lord just says, shut up and just come down here and get right. Quit trying to reason things out. Like I was talking to Weston over there at my sister's at Thanksgiving. Weston, my nephew, he was about 7 years old, and I brought two or three of them boys over there at the youth rally, and they got saved about 3 years ago. And he's got a little boy, a friend named Tony, and Tony's a little Yankee boy. He's from Florida, but everybody in Florida's up north, from up north originally about it, and he's about that high. And I was taking them home, and they just got saved, and I put old Dr. Ruckman in preaching. I said, now, boys, listen to this preaching. They was back there cutting up, pushing each other, hitting, you know, fighting everything. I said, boys, listen to this preaching. You just got saved. You know, and about that time, I just kept driving. They was all back there cutting up. And Weston kept talking, and Tony turned around and said, shut up, Weston, listen to the Word of God. I said, amen, Tony. He's about that tall. There's something about that sound right to me. Shut up, Weston, and listen to the Word of God. That's got a ring to it, you know it? We beat around the bush and beat around the bush. We ought to just sit down there and just say, shut up and listen to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Quit trying to justify yourself. Quit trying to act like you're great and wonderful and innocent and you ain't done nothing wrong. Just shut up and do what God said. And you watch things work out in your life. Now, I'm not supposed to preach to you something I won't do myself. I'm done. I'm not supposed to say y'all give if I won't give. I'm not supposed to tell you to pray if I won't pray. So I'll tell you what I do, I'm going to do right now, and I've already done it. Come on, Miss Dessie, Brother Jason. I'm going to get down here tonight, and I'm going to say, Lord, I want to be in your will. I want to do right. I want to be right with everybody. I want to treat everybody right. In my heart, I'm not willingly doing nothing wrong. By God's grace, I might be an old sorry wretch, but everything in me, it belongs to you. My life belongs to you. You do that? Fair enough. You're going to sit there and say, I ain't going to do it. I'm holding back. I'll do what I want to. I don't like, okay. Have it your way. Holy Spirit, go up before fall. You better get your heart right. Let's stand tonight. You meet me in the altar. Come on, we're going to sing tonight. And we're just going to say, Lord, I'm a wretch, but by your grace, you got every bit of me. You got every bit of me. I want to live for you. I want to serve you. Amen. That's right. Come on. That's right. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Amen.